This morning's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I'll read the whole chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. If any of you has a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint judges, even men of little account in the churches. I say this to shame you. It is possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers. Instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this is in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside of his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. As we come to God's word, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would teach us, correct us, rebuke us and train us in all righteousness for Jesus' sake. Amen. MVP. I'm not sure if any of you know what this acronym stands for, but if you've ever watched any American sports, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. MVP. It stands for this, Most Valuable Player. This is an award that is given in sports like basketball, baseball, hockey in America, where every year the league and the committee will nominate one player who they think deserves the MVP award. They are the most valuable player. Now, this player doesn't necessarily have to be the best in the league, but what this award highlights is how influential they are to their team. MVP. Now, it's not only in American sports that we see this. We actually have it a lot in our British culture. It may not be labelled the same, but in our society, we value people based on their roles, their jobs, their status in society. Although we don't call them MVPs, they certainly have high value. So if you think of our politicians, leaders of workplaces, CEOs of companies, even in the workplaces that we are, our bosses, the hierarchy, even in families, people and individuals will hold high value. And actually, not just in society, we see this. Most valuable players and most valuable people, it comes across in our lives personally as well. I wonder how you view yourself this morning. Do you consider yourself valuable? Now, we have sort of two ends of the spectrum as we're talking about this. Some of us here watching this morning will look at themselves and think, I'm not doing too bad. I have a good job. I have somewhere to live. I have food on the table. I have a nice family. I have a car. I have a house. I'm not quite at the stage of MVP in basketball in America, but I'm not doing too bad. Personally, my value is okay. Maybe this morning we've got people at the other end of the spectrum. We've got people who absolutely hate themselves. People who have nothing to offer this society physically, and because of that, they think they have no value. We have people who don't think they fit into society. Maybe you're a young person watching this morning. Maybe you think, I'm not taken seriously. I'm just a youngster. No one really cares for me. Maybe you're an older member of the society. Maybe you've retired, you finished your work. You think, no one really wants me in this society. I don't have much value. There's not much I can offer. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you think, I haven't got anything to offer at all. I don't work. I don't own property. I struggle to make ends meet. Maybe you think you have no value in this world. Maybe you wake up every morning and look at yourself in the mirror and hate what you see. You physically hate what you see. And because of that, you think you have no value in this world. Maybe you are looked at differently by other people in our society because of the way you look and you think, I have no value. Maybe you are crippled with a physical or mental illness. And because of that, the demons inside you tell you you have nothing to add. You have no value whatsoever. Now, there are two very extreme ends of the spectrum. But actually, isn't it quite ironic how in this society, in this world, we view ourselves by the world's view? We look at ourselves and rank ourselves on the pyramid of value, whether we're doing okay or whether we're not. Now, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this morning, what I want us to see is that God values Christians, not just values Christians. Our value in God's eyes and what he looks at us when he sees us is that we are his most valuable possessions. In God's eyes, our value is truly out of this world. And that is what I want to show us this morning from 1 Corinthians 6. Now, I'm sure you'll be quite happy, especially if you're a parent, that we're not going to go through all the verses in this chapter. We're going to spend this morning looking at two verses only, verses 19 and 20. However, the context of this chapter will be really helpful as we look at it a bit later. So let me reread verses 19 and 20 now. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honour God with your body. Now, what I want us to do this morning is I want these two verses, verses 19 and 20, to realign our view of our worth, not for the eyes of the world, but through the eyes of God. And as you can see in verse 19 and 20, the reason we have so much worth and value in God's eyes is because each member of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, is playing a specific role in our lives. We're going to look at all of them individually and realise why we are so valuable. So, our first point, we start with God the Father. Now let me read verse 19 again to refresh our memories. Verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. God the Father is the one who has created us. He has created me, he has created you, and you are not your own, as it says in verse 19. You belong to someone else. Now, if you've got your Bibles open, please jump with me back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. This takes us back to the beginning when God created creation. Let me read chapter 1 and verse 27 to remind us of God's handiwork. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, just in case you forgot what God is capable of and why he is a creator, in that one verse, it reminds us three times that God created us, male and female. And not only did God create us, but as it says here, he created us in his image, in the image of God. Now, the first reason why you as a Christian sitting here today, this morning, and myself as a Christian, we are so valuable, is because God has created us. Now, whether you're a father here today or not, whether you're a parent, we know the love that a parent has for their child. Now, of course, we live in a very broken world where this is not the case. Parents don't love their children the way they should. But we know and we understand the love that a parent has for their child. Even Christian parents, as hard as we try and as much as we try, we get it wrong. We are not perfect parents. But the love that God the Father has for us as his own children cannot be compared to anything in this world. God loves us so much that he created us, and that comes out of his love. But not only do we have a Father who created us in his image, but we also have God the Father who provides for his children. Go back with me again to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Just at the end, it says, whom you have received from God. Now, we're not going to spend time at the moment talking about what he has given us, because we're going to find that out later. But we have a God who creates us, and we have a God who provides for us. A creating and providing Father is the first reason why we are valuable, so much more valuable in God's eyes today. So our Father creates us. Secondly, the Son purchases us. Read again with me verse 20 of chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians. Verse 20. You were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. Now you should be questioning why, if we've been made in God's image, if the creator of all this world and universe has created us, why on earth would we need to be bought or purchased? Why should God have to purchase us? The simple answer is because of our sin. Our sin is what makes us different and pushes us away from God. If you've got time over lunch, flick back to Genesis chapter 3 and see how our forefathers turned their backs on God. They walked away from them. They chose to live their own lives. Adam and Eve were made to perfection, yet they were separated by their gratifications. They were made by the Creator in his image, yet they were separated from him because of their own gratifications. And by the way, this is not just Adam and Eve. This is us as well. We inherited this tendency to turn away from God. And this is called sin. The Bible makes it really clear. And sinfulness is not cheap. It really is not cheap. Now let me read Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the first part of that verse. See how much it costs for us to sin. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. If we sin, it costs us our life. That is the price. That is the payment. Now, if I went to the shop on Silver Street and I bought this Kinder Bueno chocolate bar, you'll see it costs 60 pence. I can't walk into that shop and expect to take this chocolate bar for free. I can't go into that shop and expect to pay 20p for it and still walk away with it. I'm sure if I did that, things would get quite interesting. If you want to sin, it will cost you your life. There's no small print. The Bible doesn't hide this. It makes it really clear. It's even written in Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. If you want to sin, it's going to cost you your life. But get this. Let me encourage you this morning, because I'm going to read the rest of Romans 6, verse 23. God in his mercy provides the payment. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, what is this gift of God? What did Jesus do and what did it cost? Well, we know, just like this chocolate bar, there's a price for our sin. Our sin costs life. Sin and the cost of sin is death. And Jesus laid down his life instead of ours. Jesus took the payment that we deserve to pay. He died that we could be made right with God. But being made right with God cannot be bought with money like this chocolate bar. I can't go to God and say, can I give you money to be made right? I can't do that. It can't be made right through deeds. I can't try really hard to be made right with God. Isaiah 52 verse 3 says this, and without money you will be redeemed. We cannot buy our freedom. We cannot buy our redemption from God. Now I wonder actually, what's the most expensive thing you've ever bought? What is the most expensive thing you've ever bought? I don't know, it might be a house, a car. I don't know if you're a young person, if you ever saved up your pocket money to buy something, maybe like a PS4 or an Xbox. Maybe it's an annual travel card into London, because them things are very expensive. You might have gone to a really nice restaurant to get some delicious food. What is the most expensive thing that you have ever bought? Now let's imagine, would you buy these things again if you had to pay with blood? Imagine a mortgage, you go to find this lovely house. Instead of a 35-year fixed-term mortgage, what they say to you is, you can just pay, just give me all your blood. Just give me your life. Now, I'm pretty sure a lot of us would walk away from that house. I think we'd consider a lot of the things that we buy if we had to pay with our own life. Now, maybe there are some things that are so valuable to us that we would lay down our lives for. Children, family, friends, at a stretch maybe. There's some things we may lay down our lives for, but not everything. Now notice how valuable we are that Jesus would lay down his life for us. People who have been pushed away from God because of our sin, people who have been sent out of the garden, away from God, Jesus lays down his life for us. And he did this when we didn't even value him. Jesus laid down his life for us when we did not value him. You were bought at a price, and that price is God's Son. Not only are you Christian made in God's image, but you are purchased with the Son's blood. So we are made by the Father, we're purchased by the Son, and our third point this morning is what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. Now let me reread verse 19 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have any doubts as a Christian sitting here watching this, if you have any doubt that you are worthless, that you are useless, that you mean nothing, then let me encourage you with this. Your body, if you're a Christian, is where God lives. His Spirit dwells in you right now. Your body is the temple of God. God is living inside you. Now, why are we using the word temple? Why does it say in verse 19, your body is a temple? Now, when we hear the word temple, it should make us think back to 2 Chronicles, where Solomon, the great King Solomon, wanted to build a temple to God. And now, as Solomon speaks about this temple to God, I want to read it out for you now. See how he speaks of this temple, a temple where God dwells. See how he speaks about this in 2 Chronicles 2, verses 5 and 6. The temple I am going to build will be great, because our God is greater than all other gods. But who is able to build a temple for him, since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Now, Christians, see your value. The heavens cannot contain God, yet he is living in you. That is value. See your value. Solomon's temple and God's temple was not a little shack. It wasn't just a little tent that was put up. Listen to this again from 2 Chronicles 2, how Solomon describes the workers who are going to be building this temple. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 2. He, that is Solomon, conscripted 70,000 men as carriers and 80,000 as stonecutters in the hills and 3,600 as foremen over them. Get this. The temple that needed hundreds of thousands of workers, that was covered in fine stone and precious gold, that had worldly value beyond imagination, cannot come close to your value in God's eyes today. That is truly amazing. That is where your value lies if you're a Christian this morning. Now we see the importance of our bodily temples. And as we see that, this should change the way we think about ourselves. And especially the things that we let into the temple of God. Now, can you imagine Solomon building this temple many years ago? Imagine if one of the workers came in with a sledgehammer and just started smashing the wall. Now, I'm pretty sure them 70,000 carriers, 80,000 stonecutters and 3,600 foremen, I'm pretty sure they would do something about it. In the same way, our bodies are a temple. And what are we letting into them? Are we letting in things to them that are helpful, that are holy? Or are we letting in things that are evil? Into the gates of our eyes, are we letting in pornography and violence? Into the gates of our ears, are we letting in gossip, slander and lies? Into the gates of our mouths, are we letting in drugs, alcohol and copious amounts of food? Are our bodies kept in immaculate condition because of who lives in there or not? Are we doing things to keep God's temple clean and perfect so it's used to glorify him every day we're on this earth? Now, what I've just spoken about there is God's temple, our bodies being a temple. I'm pretty sure we could do a whole series on it, so I haven't given it enough time that is due. But if you want to discuss this more, please get in contact with me. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your views on it. But think about that, as our bodies are temples of God. Are we using them the way we should do? Are we putting into them the things that are helpful? Are we keeping them in a way that will help us glorify God? It's something that I've been challenged with over the last few months, especially. God's living temple was not built by human hands, like King Solomon, but it was built by the Creator. And this temple was not paid for by money, but by the Son's blood. And this temple is not an empty space, but it's filled with God's Spirit if we're a Christian this morning. Now, Christian, this is your worth. When you wake up in the morning and look at yourself in the mirror, look at yourself the way God looks at you. This is our value in God's eyes. Stop looking at yourself through the eyes of this world, but look at yourself through the eyes of its Creator. Now, jump back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is where the context of the chapter would be helpful. See how Paul the writer is reminding the church of their worth and value as Christians, but he's not doing this in the midst of their sinfulness. This isn't a church that are amazing and have no problems. This is a church that are deep in sin. This is a church that are divided, they're bickering, they're engaging in sexual immorality, as you can see. And this is the beautiful thing. Our value in God's eyes has nothing to do with what we can offer. Our sinfulness does not increase or devalue our value in God's eyes. We have no part to play in this value. Now, we don't sin because of that, of course not. But it's not about us. It's about what God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are doing and have done. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever bought a new car, but there's always that classic line of, you know, you buy a new car and as soon as you drive it off the courtyard, out of the garage, your value starts to drop. As soon as it hits the tarmac of the road, you lose £1,000 of your car. Every mile you take in that car, the value of the car drops. Now, that's not the same as being a Christian. Whether you've been a Christian for 5 seconds or 50 years, our value in God's eyes is the same. We don't decrease because of our sin. We don't increase because of the things we do. Because we have nothing to play in our value. It's what the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit does for us. Now, as we come to close our time together, I want to ask you two questions. There are two questions I want to ask. One is for us as a Christian, and one is for those who are watching this who aren't Christians. So my first question this morning is for you sitting there watching this, if you're a Christian. You see how the Trinity is equally invested into your life. You see what they have done and what they are doing for you. Now my question is this: how do you value the Trinity? How do you value God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit? Do you treat them all equally as is due and the glory and what is deserved to them? Or do you look at some or put them in higher esteem and regard as to others? Now, I don't know if it's like Western British culture, but we're very good at praising God for what he has done and the way he's created all creation. We sing songs about the Son who laid down his life for us, but very rarely do we put as much focus and attention on the Holy Spirit. Now myself, I was challenged a few years ago in how I referred to the Holy Spirit. Why was I referring to the Holy Spirit as it, when it's a him, it's a person, it's a characteristic of God, it's part of the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity. Why am I referring to the Holy Spirit as it? Now I'm not sure if you've ever watched Dragon's Den. If you haven't, don't worry, because I've never watched it either. But the idea of this program is that you have three multi-millionaire investor tycoon business men and women sitting there, and up into this room comes a nobody with an idea. This nobody says, I've got an invention that's going to change the world, and then these investors decide how much money they want to put in and how much of the company they want. That's basically how it goes in Dragon's Den. Now imagine this, myself, you put yourself in this picture. There's three multi-millionaire tycoon business men and women sitting in front of you. You walk in off the street, your clothes are ripped, you have nothing, you've lost all you once had. You're indebted millions of pounds. You've got nowhere to lay your head, you haven't eaten in days. You walk up into this place, you stand in this room, and these three investors are looking at you. Without saying a word, the first one stands up and says, I'm going to give you everything I have. And not I'm going to give you everything I have, not just that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to invest 100% of myself into you. And not only that, you're going to take my surname. So wherever you go, wherever you walk, people are going to look at you and see me. The first investor says, I'm going to give everything to you. We go along to the second investor, another businessman, with their money sat beside them. The second businessman says, I'm going to pay off your debt, what you owe to the banks, what you owe to these money sharks. I'm going to pay everything off. Now, I know you owe a lot, but I've got a lot to give. I'm going to give everything I have and lay down everything I have so you can be made right with these people. That's the second businessman. The third businessman stands up and says, I'm also going to give you 100% of myself. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to come and live with you every day for the rest of your life. And I'm going to change you day by day to make you more like me. Now, can you imagine standing there in this room with these three investors? You go to the first one, you kiss his feet, and you say, thank you so much for what you've done for me. You go to the second one and say, without you, I'm dead and gone. Thank you so much. And then you walk away from the third. Can you imagine that? Now, Christian, this is our value. This is where we stand here before God because of what he's done. Our value cannot be counted in terms of worldly value. How are we now valuing God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're not a Christian, I've got a question for you as well. Going back to the start, we spoke about MVP, most valuable player. Now, do you know who won the MVP award in the NBA 5 years ago? No? Do you know who won the MVP award in the NBA 10 years ago? No, neither do I. Our worldly value will drop. Maybe today we're standing here with a little bit of value. That will fade. Like that car I spoke about driven off the garage. Your value will slowly drop. It won't last forever. But God's value lasts in eternity. not because of what we can offer him, but because of what he has done for us. Christian, we are made by the Father. We are purchased by the Son. And we have the Holy Spirit living in us, changing us every day. This is your value if you're a Christian this morning. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as sinners who often value ourselves through the eyes of the world. Lord, we think of ourselves as better or lower, depending on what we have. And Lord, how often do we forget our value in your eyes because of what you have done for us? Father, we praise you that you have made us. The Father, you created us. You made us in your image. Father, we thank you that your Son laid down his life and purchased us. Father, we thank you that you send your Holy Spirit to live within us, to change us each and every day to be more like you. Lord, please this morning help us see our value in your eyes, not through the eyes of this world. In your name we pray. Amen. As we finish our time together, let me read the last few words in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.